When I came to church this morning, I received this gift, and I thank God. We hope that all of the fathers were able to get one. As Drake Preston was handing these out this morning as part of the youth department, saying Happy Father's Day to all the dads. Amen? So I trust that you were able to get one. Amen. Enjoy the men singing this morning, and certainly we give God all the praise. We wanted to do something a little bit different on this Father's Day. Before I get into that, Reverend Gibbons mentioned that we had a golf outing yesterday, and I'm very proud of the men of our church. We had 8 golfers out of this church that went out, and we have this friendly competition between us and Chapel Grove. And since Tim Hubbard often says, well, we need to mention it in service. So, Tim, here you go. Crossroad came out as the champions. Well, we enjoy the fellowship, great fellowship between Chapel Grove and Crossroad and other churches that we're getting men involved. We are praying that we can have more and more young people. It's a great opportunity for us to mentor them, activity outside the doors of the church, so we can be a blessing to other people. Amen? Amen? Amen. But proud of you guys, and thank God for every one of you. This Father's Day, I want to invite you to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. And I'm going to do something different. Normally what I would do is speak on a father in the scripture, a man, a human. But today we're going to reflect on the Heavenly Father. Amen. We're going to reflect on what God the Father has done and how he is speaking to us today. Genesis chapter 3, and then we're going to conclude with a verse from Revelation, chapter 22 and verses 1 and 2. Listen to what it says. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. I want you to underscore that, because that's the theme of what we're talking about today. God gave them something to cover them. Verse 22, and the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Revelation 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, notice this, there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Thus in the reading of God's holy word, we're going to share with you just a few thoughts on the Father's sacrifice. You may be seated. Lord, bless us now as we come to share your word. I pray that you'd give us clarity of thought, give us understanding, give us wisdom, that we might proclaim the truth, and that you would bless the people, that you would indeed speak to their heart, give them encouragement, give them hope. Most of all, give them thy grace. We pray this in the awesome and powerful name of Jesus and for his glory. And all the people said, amen. Certainly there is no greater father than God the Father. And while we look at God as being almighty, what I want us to do is to view him as a model for every man and also every person. Because the things that God did, the things that he continues to do in our lives are truly powerful. You will never find anyone who cares more from you or more about you than God Almighty. No one can compare to his love and to his grace. I want to ask you to do a couple of things at the close of this service, because I want this message to have an impact. We don't just want to stand up here for a half hour or so and tell you things and you write them down, but we want to make an impact, make a difference. How can this message transform my life for good? A couple of things that you can do about it. Number one, look at God seriously. Take a serious look at God in your life. Pay attention to Him. Because everything He says to you, He says it in love. Secondly, I want you to do this. Find at least one thing that you can put into practice this week, and perhaps even today. God did that. So I'm going to imitate God in my life. Can you do that? Take Him seriously and do at least one thing that you can say, I learned that from God. As you will notice, we often get the picture of children wearing their parents' shoes, stepping into their shoes and then walking. And we say, oh, isn't that cute? It's called imitating. It's called imitating. Here in the Garden of Eden, something significant happened. I'm going to give you the setup. God put two of His children, the original children of God, Adam and Eve, and He put them in this lush garden, rent free. Okay? And all they had to do was go out, any fruit they wanted, any food, it was good. But God said to them, listen, one tree stay away from. One tree, do not eat the fruit of it, because when you eat the fruit, you're going to die. Is that clear? Oh, yeah, we got it, God. We got it. Well, long story goes, they didn't got it. Of all the other things they could have explored, of all the other things they could have done, they decided this one tree kept capturing their attention, and they went after it. The forbidden fruit. This introduced what we all come to know as the original sin. If you've never heard that word before, I'm giving it to you today. Where did sin come from? It came from Adam and Eve saying, we're not going to do what God wants us to do. We're going to do it our way. Now, a lot of water has gone over the dam since that day that they made that dreadful decision. But people continue to walk in the shoes of those original parents. God, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. How do you think God felt? When He saw them that He loved so dearly, every evening God would go to them and talk with them, encourage them, give them what they needed and everything else. Fine, God, we're doing great. On this one evening He goes to talk with them. What do they do? They are hiding. You notice why people love to hide? Trying to cover something. They don't want to admit we made the wrong choice. We did the wrong thing. Of course, when Adam and Eve were confronted about this, they tried to make excuses. Do we do that? Again, walking in the shoes of our parents, we want to make excuses. Well, it's not my fault. Adam says, this woman you gave me. So he's blaming both Eve and God because he said, God, you gave her to me. She messed me up. Eve said, well, serpent. He's the one that made me eat of the fruit. And God said, you're both guilty. So we look at this. Before God expelled them from the garden, going back to our theme, before He said, get out, God did something. He sacrificed. So I don't see it. It's right there. It's right there. God gave them clothing made of original skins of animals. While it's not stated what the animal was, it is stated that they wore those skins as a covering because they were naked. God saw them exposed, and God killed an animal, probably a lamb, in order to cover them. Isn't that something? Your God made a sacrifice. And God continues to make sacrifices for us today. Matter of fact, the reason why you're alive is because animals and other things have been killed for you. But we don't just sacrifice out of need. We sacrifice out of greed. Now I know this is not the animal that God killed, but have you ever thought about the number of chickens at KFC and other places? Maybe I shouldn't be saying that from the pulpit. This thing does go out on Facebook and YouTube. But yeah, they make a lot of money, right? Off of sacrifices. And it started with God making the original sacrifice for you and me. You see, we were in Adam and Eve at that point. And now we're manifested in the world through our own birth and growth. And we're here now. But things continue to sacrifice. God continues to give in order that we might live. Isn't that something? We also look at the fact that when God expelled them from the garden, there was this tree of life in the middle of the garden. While they were in their, what we might call, not sinful state, but their state of being born, being innocent. As theologians call it, they weren't perfect, but they were innocent. Hadn't experienced things. Here's a word for the young people today. Be careful. That closed door might be closed because you're not supposed to open it. Be careful when you open those doors because you can't easily shut them again. Adam and Eve experienced that. They couldn't undo what they had done. And now they were in sin. Now they felt naked. And God said, in His grace and mercy, I'm going to clothe you. But I can't give you access to the tree of life. Because if you eat of that tree of life and you live forever, you will live in a state of separation from me. I can't do that to you. You ever wonder why? You ever wonder why God said you got to get out of the garden? Because they were not ready for the garden. People who are ready for eternal life have done something. They've made preparation in their life. They've made some provision in their life to say, now I'm ready to live forever. And it's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's perfect Lamb. The hymn writer said it best, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, where sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all their guilt and stain. What God did is He sacrificed for you and me. Let me give you a couple of things, then I'm going to give you some points, and I'm going to close the message because I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you about take God seriously. Then I want to challenge you to practice at least one thing that you're going to learn in this message. So we say God made a sacrifice. What's happened since that original sin? Well, since that original sin, humans have continually and tremendously, I love that word, tremendously disobeyed God. God says something in the Word, they say, I'm not doing that. I don't have to do that. Thou shalt not steal. I'm not going to do that. Now, we think of the petty thief. We think of the guy that goes in a store and grabs a loaf of bread, and we say, that's a thief. A whole lot of thieves on Wall Street. A lot of them. Have you ever wondered when the stock markets go down, we say everybody's losing. Everybody ain't losing, folk. Somebody's winning big time. They're cashing in big time, right? Since that time, people have continuously disobeyed God. Since the time of the original sin, mankind has continually sacrificed other things in order for their own greed, in order for their own pride. Did you not know there are enough resources in this world to take care of everybody? No child has to go to bed hungry. No one has to go without clothes. Everybody could be taken care of. But you have the few who control just about everything. One day that'll be corrected. Keep in mind now that tree of life. What if people were permitted to live forever in this condition that we're in now? What if they had everything in the condition that they're in now? Can you imagine? Can you imagine the despots and the dictators that would take over the world and say to themselves, man, I got control of everything. But leaders like Alexander the Great and Adolf Hitler, they all died. Because there's one thing that they could not access. That's that tree of life. Had they lived forever, they would have controlled everything. Thank God for grace. A couple of more things. We got more information now. Remember the tree of knowledge? Serpent said, eat of this tree and man, you will be just like God. You will know everything. Some stuff you don't need to know. And we say, well, that was the tree of knowledge. That was the tree of knowledge, good and evil. We find today. No, that little thing you hold in, Google has got you in trouble. Man, I'm really putting it out there today. I'm calling some copper. I'm calling them out. Need an answer for something? Just Google it. Just search it. Get a search engine and find the answer to everything you need. With little thought as to whether or not what you're reading is accurate. You depend on that thing for your life. And yet, you won't pick up this book. We got information, as they say, out of the wazoo. Got lots of stuff, lots of things. But is it helping you to live a victorious and happy life? Are you better off knowing more? Are you better off with facts, figures, and numbers? Another thing, and I'm going to move on. Since that original sin, God has persistently pursued mankind. He never lets up on you. Every night that you lay down, every morning that you wake up, God is looking over your bed and taking care of you. You better be glad I'm not God. I've told y'all that before. Sun wouldn't just creep up over the horizon ever so gently and then set in the sunset. When I got married to y'all, I'd pop the sun. Get up! Talk back. What? Where's your next breath? No, I'm not God. But I am a child of God. And I listen to him. I take him seriously. And I try to practice every day one thing that he says to me. Let me help him get through this message because I think you're getting the point. While the tree was out of reach for Adam and Eve and their descendants, the book of Revelation says that God brings that tree back. He doesn't end everything without an opportunity for man to get back to the tree of life. Isn't that good news? Where he could have said, you know, what you've got, years on this planet, that's going to be it. God could have said that, but he didn't do that. He gave you and I an opportunity to get back to the tree. Revelation 22, and I'm going to give you some points after this. Revelation 22, the Lord brings the tree back, and it says that in the midst of the street of it, that's heaven, and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. Notice this. And yielded her fruits every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Isn't that wonderful? Our amazing God is going to heal this nation. He's going to heal every nation on the face of this planet. That's what God is doing. He's going to do. He's going to bring that to pass. Until then, we got to have something to hold on to. Look at the body, tell them, I got to have something to hold on to. That's why you need a father. For all of you who think you can do it yourself, some things you can't do. Can I preach to you? You need a heavenly father that looks down from glory and says, I am going to provide for you. The same God that made Adam and Eve made you and me. The same God that blessed them, even though they were put out of the garden, the Lord went with them and guided and protected them. Angels used to come down and fellowship with them because they needed a hope and something to hold on to. Now, you might not be able to see angels, but let me tell you something else that you can see. The Holy Spirit is in your life to take care of you. He guides you. He protects you. He talks to you when you decide you want to be totally stupid. God will come in and fellowship with you. He'll make a way out of no way. He will bless you because he is God. He could just wipe his hands and say, you know what? You're not mine. But God cannot leave his children. Can I get a witness here? That's why you got to trust him. That's why you got to trust him. I'm going to give you five things. I guess it's five, yeah. Yeah, five things. We'll give you five things that God's going to do as an illustration of how he sacrifices, how he gives into our lives. And the first one is right in Genesis. The first thing that God does for every one of us, and whether you're a father or mother or anyone else who has, amen, what we might call authority over someone else, God gives clear instructions, which means he communicates. He talks to you. A lot of homes in America, people sit around, they're eating a meal. Everybody's face is in this little device. We're texting somebody, but we're not touching the people around our table. If you're going to give clear instructions, you got to talk to folk. That's why we have church, so we can talk to each other. We call the body of Christ. We need to communicate. And we need to do it effectively. God gave them clear instruction. Don't eat that tree. Got it? Yeah, God, we got it. And they disobeyed. But God gave instructions. He continues to give instructions. You pay attention to them, you'll live. You'll have great things that happen in your life. Doesn't mean you won't have trials now. Don't get me wrong. Don't go out of here twisted saying, Pastor said, if we read our Bible, we do what the Bible says, we ain't gonna have no problem. I ain't tell you that. But God will be with you. He'll guide you every step of the way. I got some witnesses in here that know that the Lord will bring you through. Won't he do it? Second thing God does that you need to do, hold your children accountable. Set them down. Talk to them. Man, my mama did that. Lord, have mercy. My daddy gave instructions through illustration. He was a little farmer, not even 5 foot tall. But Dad was a giant in my life. Because whenever you did something wrong, he would hold you accountable. God held Adam and Eve accountable. They did not get away with their sin. And my father did not let me get away with my sin. I remember I was getting ready to go out on Saturday night. He had me on the tractor. And I said, there's one thing between me and Saturday night, and that's this field that I need to plow. Normally you're supposed to plow in second gear. I had it in fourth gear, wide open. Dexter, the dirt was flying up everywhere. I saw this little man run across the field. Hey! He had that finger up in the air. I said, oh, God. I broke it down. I shifted, downshifted the tractor. Don't you ever drive my tractor that way. You understand me? Yes, sir. Sometimes you need to get in your children's face before the world does. My kids knew when they were growing up, you don't come home by a certain hour, I come looking for you. And woe be unto you when I find you. Hold your children. And it doesn't mean being mean-spirited. It doesn't mean that you've got to injure them. But you do have to bring them down a notch. Do I have a witness here? God held Adam and Eve accountable. Then the third thing that we find out is that God gave them something to sacrifice to cover their shame. He didn't want to see them in the condition that they're in. God pities us. He knows the mistakes that we make. He knows that given a choice, we're going to make the wrong choice just about every time. God knows that. So rather than saying, I'm done with you, God has mercy. I preached on this a couple of Sundays ago, but let me just tell you that this mercy is so good, God renews it every morning. Now, he had enough mercy yesterday to take care of everything in your life for the rest of your life. But early this morning, God put some brand new mercy. You will never exhaust the mercy of God. But the mercy isn't just given to cover your shame. The mercy is given so that you would know where it came from. While the world is putting you down, God said, no, you're still my child. And I'm going to love you. I'm going to love you even if you don't want to love me back. I'm going to love you anyway. That's why I often sing a song, God has smiled on me because of his mercy being renewed in our lives. You ought to thank God that you got a father in heaven. He set the example for you. Why should you be merciful to people? Because your God is merciful. Why should you hold them accountable? Because your God holds them accountable. Why should you make things clear? Because your God makes things clear. Here's another thing that we need to do. God punishes. Oh, yeah, you didn't think I would get to that. The schools and the society said, don't spank those kids. And I'm going to tell y'all, I don't believe in hurting people. I don't believe in that. But I grew up in the day that switches were real, and it wasn't on the side of the wall that you turn a light on, a switch. And that day looked like it was half a tree. They tear your legs up. Ed Gone spoke yesterday at our church, and he talked about that strap. How many of y'all growing up, you remember the strap? You were scared of that thing. That was to let you know that they would punish you. They would make sure that you learned a lesson. And you say to yourself, I ain't doing that no more. I remember one time I got so crazy, I wasn't going to come home. I won't come home. I'm out just having a good time. And here comes this four-door Ford Galaxy. 500. Flying down the road. Mom and Daddy coming looking for me. Boy, where you been? You should love them for that. Because what they were doing is keeping you out of prison or either keeping you out of the mortuary. I thank God for my parents. I would not be here today had it not been for godly parents who believe in punishment. I'm almost done. I know some of y'all squirming in your seat. Great day. When are you going to finish this sermon? When are you going to finish? But you need to know. You need to know these things. We assume that folks know this. As I said, we got a lot of people that have head knowledge, but they don't really have practical common sense knowledge. Things that we should do. And dads, if you're a dad, you ought to be proud of it. You ought to be proud of the fact that I can imitate God. I can do something that God has showed me, and I'm going to imitate him. In Deuteronomy 31, in verses 6 through 8, we find God speaking and confronting the children of Israel. But he tells them, though I punish you, though I render judgment on you, and sometimes I will bring that judgment even to putting you out of your own nation, God says, I will not abandon you forever because I'm your God. I care about you. I love you so much. Yes, you will face sometime the discipline of God, but you can rest assured that the Lord, amen, will claim his own and will stand with us. He tells Israel in these verses in Deuteronomy 31, he says to them, that you're my people, you're my children. Be strong and courageous. Fear not. And he says, nor be afraid, for the Lord thy God goes with you, and he will not fail you, nor will he forsake you. Nor will he forsake you. Look back over your life. Some of the things that you've done. Things now that you're not ashamed, that you're ashamed of, but then you thought you were just being like the crowd. Think back over your life. God loved you even then. And he loves you even now. Verse 8 says, and the Lord, he is he that doth go before you. He will be with you, and he will not fail you, neither forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Thank God for his grace. Amen? Amen. Then the last thing we're going to close with. Last thing. God loves and provides for his people. If you're going to be a dad, don't depend on the state to take care of your kids. Yeah, I'm going to say it. You knew I was going there. Do not depend on the state to take care of your kids. Now they got to be going into your account to get money out that you should have been giving in the first place. I'm going to say it. You're the man. Be the man. Be proud of it because you're imitating God. You're saying, God, you're my father, and I'm going to follow your example. Now, granted, situations may have it where you and the mom didn't see things the same way and you can't dwell in the same household, but them your babies, take care of them. Because when you take care of them, God is going to look at you and say, you know, that's my boy. He messed up, but he's learning. He's getting it straight. God's counting on you to make the right decision, to do the right thing. Don't abandon your own children. Don't give them up for the world. Let them know that you care about them because guess what? Your God cares about you. Can I say just a little bit about the sacrifice that God made? And then I'm going to go to my seat. I promise you I'm going. I told you that a couple of times, but you know how preachers are, especially old preachers. Hey? In the garden, the Lord made a sacrifice of animals. But there came a day when God knew that an animal could not satisfy the needs of man. On a hill called Calvary, there the precious Lamb of God, walked up that hill, bearing his cross. Simon of Cyrene had to grab hold of one end of it as he carried it with him, but he was not going to bear the cross because Jesus bore his own cross. Between two thieves, the Lamb of God was sacrificed to take away the sin of the world. Some theologians said judgment would have come to this planet had not Jesus been in place on that day. God would have judged the world and condemned all of mankind to die had not a lamb been sacrificed for you and me. While the world is telling us, watch this, my advice to you, watch the lamb. Watch the one who is taken away and forgiving all of your transgressions. And by the way, that same Lamb of God would make way for the tree of life to come back to us so that you and I could eat its fruit. Someone said, Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. He paid all that was needed for our sin. But there's a price that you must pay. Must Jesus bear the cross alone that all the world go free? No. There's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for you and me. Who'll go with him today? Fathers, will you go with him? Will you say, Lord, I'm with you? Will you say, God, I'm inspired by you. God, I recognize you in my life. Will you say, God, I want to imitate what you've done. And if you'll do that, I guarantee that God will do in your life what no other power can do. He'll take you to himself, embrace you as his own, and say, welcome home. The prodigal son drifted away, thought nobody loved him. Luke 15 gives us a wonderful example of how God loves. While that boy took the family inheritance and went out, the Bible says he squandered it on riotous living. Oh, let's just have a party. Let's just have a good time. That was him. He'd pull up to the bar and said, everybody, drink what you want to. I got it. One day he reached in his pocket and all he pulled out was a ball of lint. He said, I'm in bad shape now. All his friends began to disappear, and the Bible says he began to be in want. Any of y'all ever been there? Far away from home and don't know where you're going to go and don't know where your next meal is going to come from. I've been there. But I'm still alive because God made a way out of no way. Amen. Can I get a couple of men to clap your hands to that? He reached what was known as the turnaround. Say, preacher, what's the turnaround? The turnaround is when you've gone so deep that you can't go no further. And you wake up and realize, I ought not be here. I'm going to turn around. I'm going back home. He said, wait a minute. In my father's house, servants are being treated better than I am. I'm so hungry I could eat what the hogs are eating. You got to be mighty low when you eat what a pig eats. I will go back to my father. That's what he said. And the daddy could have given up on him because guess what? He gave him his inheritance. He gave him everything, but then the father gave him something else. He gave him love, and he gave him acceptance. Here come that old raggedy boy. Here he come, dirty clothes and all, smelling like what he'd been in. Coming down the path, and the Bible said the father ran to him. That's God running to you. Ran to him, embraced him, put his arms around him. He said, let's have a party. Let's have a feast. this my son was dead, but now he's alive. Thank God for the grace of God. You wonder why I get excited. I know where I came from. But thank God the Lord took me back. God took me in. And I'm saved today because of his grace. And if you need it, all you got to do is call on him. The Lord will take you in and claim you as his child. Won't he do it for you, church? Amen. So I'm going to ask you those two things again. One, will you take God seriously? How do that, Pastor? Just say, Lord, from this day forward, I'm going to take you seriously. I've been taking you for granted that you're always going to be there. You're always going to bless me. And I know you will, but I want to take you seriously. Will you do that today? Raise your hand if you plan on doing that. Men and women, if you raise your hand, God, I'm going to take you seriously. And then the second thing, I've said a lot up here today, but you should at least have one thing. Say, God, when I get out of here, matter of fact, I'm going to start right now. I'm going to do at least one thing to imitate you. Your life will change forever. Let's pray. Eternal God, I thank you. I've delivered what you told me to deliver. But I too want to take you seriously. I too want to go out here doing at least one thing that you've showed me. So bless us to do that. May our lives be eternally changed. And by the way, Father, happy Father's Day. You're the best. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. We've given the invitation many times before. You know the routine. But if today you're without Christ, without hope, we invite you to come. I really, really and seriously want you to come. If you're here today and say, Preacher, you got next to me today. It's not my intention to put people on the spot, but what I do want to do is to help you to receive God's grace. Is there one today? Will you come? Maybe you're not a member of the church and you say, well, I'd like to join. I'd like to be a part where I can grow and learn more about God. If that's you, will you come? God has smiled on me. How many of y'all can say that? He has set me free. Look at somebody, tell them, God has, oh, he smiled. He's been so good. Been good. Can I say this verse? He is the source of all my joy. He fills me with his love. The grace that I implore, he sends it on down from above. That's the reason I can say, God has smiled. Sing this. I want to hear the men sing, God has smiled on me. Can we do it, men? Give me a yes. Y'all ready? One, two, three.
God.
Come on, sing it out. All right, y'all did good, man. Let me hear the ladies sing it. Can we do that? Can I get y'all to sing? Now, don't put us to shame, but just sing. Y'all ready? Everybody go. Woo! Yes, sir! Come on, say it, y'all! I hear you. Everybody join in. God has smiled on me.
God has smiled on me. He has set me free. God has smiled.
God bless you.